Hour number two of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5, hanging out with us today. Darren, on the fritz with The Voice. You may have heard the show yesterday. If you did, you know why he's out. He was battling through. And he made it through. I guess he made it through the hockey broadcast last night, did he?
He did. He powered through. He was able to power through the hockey broadcast. But as soon as that sucker ended, he came back here and said, I can't do tomorrow.
I'm done.
I did get the text during the game. I'm done. I'm done for tomorrow. Can't go.
So did I. I got the same text.
Yeah, they called the bullpen. The bullpen phone rang.
Yeah.
And Steve picked up. Get Lehman up. Get him up in the pen. So
I had to get warmed up at that point.
Yep, he's in. So Steve, you saw this. Derrick Henry, and I think he's still down there in Miami. But Derrick Henry did the car wash, yeah. Right? He went through and he went on all the shows and he went on. I thought, as you would expect, he represented himself so well, right? And that is, it was phenomenal not only to see his domination on the field, but his comfort level in the spotlight, his leadership level. He's grown up a lot in the last year. That has been really noticeable for me.
For sure. Well, here's the thing. He's a really good guy, and yeah. I think he's really interesting. He just doesn't always want to be interesting.
Yeah, he
doesn't always
shy.
Want to
yeah.
talk to people. And so for us around here, he's kind of hard to do the interview process with because about 75% of the time he wants no part of even talking to us, and so you get nothing out of it. But when he goes on those national shows and he realizes, hey, everybody's listening or watching this as I go, this isn't taped, they're not taking 10-second sound bites, he's always pretty good for those types of things. And yeah, I always find him interesting, and his evolution this year as not just a running back, because we all know the conversation into last offseason was, can he carry over the big December into 2019 and make that a full season, make him a guy truly that you build an offense around moving forward? He certainly did that as a running back. But the other thing he did, Willie, is he became the heart and soul of this team.
Yes.
In an emotional and leadership standpoint, he's the guy who broke him down in the locker room after games. He's the guy who gave him the pep talk before games in the locker room. He stepped up to the plate vocally in that sense, and based off of everything I was talking about, I don't know who saw that coming before this year.
I agree. And so it's interesting. We say that. We agree 100%. We were talking analytics yesterday with Calvin Smith from our staff, who is, you know, this is what he does, right? On the side, this is not even on the side. This is what he really wants to do going forward with his career. So he has got all these numbers. And he, like a lot of the analytic side of things, really thinks that it is so much more easily to replace a great running back than so many other positions. The world of analytics is going to collide with the traditional workhorse running back that Derrick Henry has become. And it's not, like you said, it's going to go way past the yards. It's the leadership. It's the heart and soul kind of thing. What is driving the team? It's him.
Yeah.
He's become a huge weapon. But that cautionary flag is waving of, hey, man, it's not smart to invest big money in a running back. So what I really fear, to me, the worst-case scenario, I would hate to see it go into this, he's on the franchise tag, let's go year to year, and that cloud is hanging over everything. I think that's what I would desperately try to avoid, even if it maybe costs a little extra money. But I understand the concept, right? The history is littered with running backs who were awesome for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
But then that was it.
Yeah. The thing that's going to be different, I think, and I mean, we don't know until it plays itself out, but the thing that's different about Henry than all those guys is his build. Henry's a 6'3", 248-pound back. You know, the story here in Tennessee was Chris Johnson, who had those few years where he was so good and then he held out to get the big contract and got the big money, and he was never the same after that. The wear and tear on Chris Johnson, the amount of carries on Chris Johnson, he wasn't the same running back when he finally got paid.
Exactly.
That's the thing I think you hope that's different with Henry because of how big he is. He hasn't had injury issues. He hasn't taken the same beating because, frankly, he doles it out as much as he gets it when he runs the football. I think if you're the Titans, you sit back and you hope that's the case. And the other thing I think just short term for them with this decision is their entire offense is built around not just running the football, but that man running the football. It's not Deion Lewis running the football. It's not, you know, David Flewellen or Daylon Dawkins or whoever else has been on the roster to do it. It's been Derrick Henry running the football and then play action off of his great ability. I just don't know. I mean, you talk about the contract and the money that you have to throw out there. I don't know if you can afford not signing him to move forward because of the way this team's built.
Right. But I 100% agree. But those I do listen to the analytics, right? It's so easy. It is the world's colliding. It is the classic debate. I'm of the opinion that they have to get it done. But do you agree with me that you would hate to have that be the story in training camp, that it's the franchise tender? Well, he just signed the franchise tender. Oh, is he going to practice? Oh, I don't know. Is he going to do the OTA? I mean, you just don't want that, right? You have so much good feeling right now. He's become a leader, right? You just don't want that to be there. It's one thing, like you saw what happened in Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell, who wasn't nearly the heart and soul kind of guy of that team. But it still jacked them up a lot.
It did. I'm with you. And frankly, I think they want to do something that's more of a 3 or 4 year deal here if they can make it make sense, because I think he is such a big part of this. But I do look at the emotional leadership standpoint. That's why I think Logan Ryan's such a big key on the defensive side. I mean, you can make the argument that he was the MVP of the defense for much of this season, but I also think just as importantly, he's one of the key leaders in that locker room. I mean, he speaks up when things aren't good. He speaks up when things are good. He counsels the young guys and sort of brings them along. There's a lot of things he does that isn't just go out there and defend a wide receiver on Sunday. And it's going to cost you money. I mean, you're probably paying $12 million a year because that's what you're paying Malcolm Butler, and I can't imagine he's going to sign for less than that. But I think it's very important to keep a Logan Ryan around on this team, too, if you can.
All right. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about that in our next segment. Alan Bell will join the discussion from 24/7 Sports. We'll also get his take on the Super Bowl coming up. So talking a little football when we come back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. ESPN 102.5 The Game. This is Darren, Donick, and Chase. Steve Lehman, News Channel 5. And Alan Bell has joined the crew from 24/7 Sports, covering the NFL. Alan, welcome into the studio.
I appreciate you guys having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. You saw that we've done a little sprucing up in here since you were last.
Yeah, it's nice. This studio is super sharp, great table. Like I said, it feels like you're on a G5 plane with these nice executive seats. It's sharp in here.
Is that the first time you felt like you were in a G5
when
you're
at work?
Yeah, let me say that. Yeah, they don't bring me on in those over at John C. Toon.
So we were just talking about this, Alan, and it will be the question. And it's not the only question, but it's probably question number one, is with the Titans and this day and age of what you pay running backs in the NFL.
Yeah.
What's the right price for Derrick Henry, not only because of the strict yards and production he's had, but also what you're starting to see from Derrick Henry, the emergence of a leader, a heart and soul kind of guy. He's got the intangibles as well as the tangibles now.
Yeah, he does. You know, and I think you have to look at it. You have to look at it three ways, okay? First, running backs are different to every single team. Any position is, right? So you look at Derrick Henry. I think Derrick Henry is incredibly important to what the Titans do, okay? So you see that. You see, number two, when you're paying a running back, you know, the prevailing thought is that you're paying for past production and not future, okay? So you have to look at it and say, all right, this is kind of like buying a new car. You're going to buy a luxury car, all right? So you have just enough money to get the brand new Lexus that you want. But you can't afford the insurance. And what I mean by the insurance is the offensive line. Like, you have to look at both of those and say, this is an investment group, because running back's not going to work if we stop investing in the offensive line. So where I'm going with all of that is this, is that there's a number to be had, but you have to look at, you know, both of those positional groups and say, does this make sense? Because even if he's the best back in the league, if your offensive line goes down the drain, it's not going to matter. Like, you're just going to waste your money. So I think the Titans are in good shape. I don't think Derrick Henry is, you know, crazy high in terms of a number. And I think that they've got a pretty solid base of their offensive line. So I know I took a long time to answer that question, but I think the Titans are in good shape with it.
Well, let me ask you guys both this. Do you think that Derrick Henry and his camp, his agent, et cetera, will come to the table thinking, yeah, I want what's fair, but my money goes a little further in Nashville. I want to be here, and therefore I'm not going for the big, big money. Or will it be, hey, look at these numbers. Who's done better the last couple of years? Here's Ezekiel Elliott, who's the top. Here are the top five. I want to be right here. Where do you think that...
Well, I think he's going to be, you know, he's going to want, you know, to get paid, and rightfully so. He deserves it. Everyone in the world wants to get paid. But I think what you said, you know, we've been listening to him. You know, he made the rounds yesterday in Miami, and you listen to him talk. He wasn't talking about, you know, I'm a free agent, you know, whoever wants me, you know, come pay up. It was we, you know, we being the Titans, you know, we've got work to do. So it sounds like he loves being here, and I think that there's, you know, something to that that can work in the Titans' favor. But you're going to have to pay him. I mean, it's going to be $14 million, somewhere around there, because guys want to get paid. I mean, you know, life, you know, money's a part of it.
He worked his whole life to get to this
absolutely
point.
Right, and his agent wants him to get paid, too, sure, by the way. Yeah. He's going to be the guy coming to the table first, and he's going to want that money. Yeah. I do think it's interesting, though, from a Henry perspective, is the path he's taken to get here. Because his first 2 years in the league, I mean, people were like, this doesn't look like the Heisman Trophy winner. This doesn't look like the guy that they drafted in the second round. He wasn't the star. Yeah. And then last year he developed into that. And then this past season, this fall, he became not just the workhorse, but he became the team.
Yeah.
From an emotional and production standpoint, he was the heart and soul of the Tennessee Titans. I think when you get to that point, especially the way he got there, I'd be really wary if I were him about signing for the highest dollar and going to Denver, or, you know, like, or whatever, just to take over again. Because, like you said, offensive line's different, system's different. There's no guarantee. I mean, right now, he is the offense of the Tennessee Titans. I don't know where else you can go, no matter how much they're paying you, where that would be the case.
Yeah, and you know, I think him going to a place like Alabama under Nick Saban and understanding that, you know, he wants to win, and, you know, he's smart enough to know that, like, exactly like you said, you know, you could go to a Denver Broncos and make $1 million more per season. Have fun with 6-10, you know, have fun with 5-11. You're not going to enjoy it, you know, and I think he understands that. So I think the Titans have that definitely in their favor. But again, I mean, like you said as well, you know, he became a national brand, and, you know, you had a chance, you know, you could have signed him at any point, and then you kind of let it go on. It's like, all right, now he's at maximum value because everybody knows who Derrick Henry is now.
He seems like an obvious guy that you have to come back, but you mentioned the offensive line. The one piece on the offensive line that isn't locked up for the foreseeable future is Jack Conklin.
Yeah.
He himself, in a similar situation, the Titans didn't give him the fifth-year option. They weren't ready to give him a long-term deal because he was coming off the injury. They wanted to see what he'd do this year. Well, he comes back, he's healthy, and he performs like a guy who's a star at the right tackle position. Now he commands a bunch of money in free agency. Can they afford to keep him?
Well, this is what I think is really fascinating about this whole puzzle that you're putting together is, again, from the analytics perspective, Calvin Smith. And I think he falls in line with, if you look at X or Y website, whether it's Pro Football Focus or this, they will tell you that it's a lot easier to replace a featured running back than it is a right tackle, right? So, and the right tackle affects what the running back is going to be able to do. So Jack Conklin is a very important piece here, right? And so what's the right price for each of these guys? It's all connected.
Yeah, it is. And you know, you bring up a great point, and I think they're exactly right. I would argue that not only, you know, is it harder to replace that right tackle than running back, I think it's harder to replace that than a quarterback. Look at the quarterbacks that are going to be free agents this year, right? Like, there are going to be a lot of big names that are out there. There's a good quantity of quarterbacks in the league now, which is not the norm at all. But offensive line is extremely hard to find. You know, guys that are ready to go. So even though I think the Titans played it right in not giving him, you know, that fifth-year option and letting him prove it, man, he's going to cost some money just because supply and demand. You know, there's going to be other teams that say, buddy, we'll pay you. We need a right tackle right now.
It wasn't really questioned that much last year when they did it.
Well,
right?
He was hurt, and he wasn't any good. Last season.
So I wonder, the 2018 in their circles, season, did they really consider picking up that option? How heavy did they consider it behind closed doors before they made the call? Because it's during the summer. People aren't really, weren't waiting every day to see if that was going to happen. Because as you said, his stock was down at the time.
Right.
He had not had a great year. But I remember questioning it at least and saying, "What? You have a certainty there. He's your pick. You know what he looks like when he's at his best." But if they could do it over again, do you think they would pick up that option? I don't know.
I mean, if you could do it over again and have seen the future, you would have had both Henry and Conklin under contract for next year.
Yeah.
But you'd be paying them the fifth year of their rookie deal, which would be huge money. And at the time, given what they'd done, Henry essentially was a star for 1 month. Were you ready to pick up a full year on that off of 1 month? And Conklin, as good as he played as a rookie, had really struggled because of the injuries after that. So, I mean, looking back on it, you can say woulda, coulda, but I think they made the right call at the time, but now they're paying for it.
Yeah, I think they did too. And isn't it funny that that they say, we're going to wait on these deals and you prove it and, we'll come to your contract, that you have success and it kind of burns you a little bit, at the end, because now all these guys, they have a higher value, but that's what you want. You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly what you want. So they've got some decisions to make. I mean, we didn't even bring up, yet Logan Ryan, somebody like,
or Tannehill,
or the quarterback, by the way.
Oh yeah. That one too. Yeah. Well, I mean, and they've got to figure out the two quarterbacks. Like, they got to figure out a backup quarterback as well. Right. I mean,
a backup, whoever that would
which
be.
Which, as we've seen here, is important, by the way.
Yeah.
Having a backup quarterback that's any good is important.
Yeah. It's going to be a wild offseason for John Robinson at Vrabel, for sure.
You brought it up, and that's exactly what John said to me when I talked to him before the Kansas City game. Is I was talking about the various production of guys, and I said, and of course, what this means for you is a very busy offseason with agents coming to you demanding this and asking for that. And I said, though, I guess that's a problem that's nice to have when you're in the AFC Championship game. And he just kind of smiled and said, this is what we want. We want guys to play well. We want to have these issues in the offseason because guys have played so well. We're fighting for championships that then we have to worry about this. And, there are problems that you do have to talk about. It's going to be great for radio over the next few months, but that's exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You have to embrace the fact that you've gotten to this point, that you have tough choices that you have to make. That's the mark that you have a pretty good roster. So do they have enough money under the cap? Let's just take the four key guys that we've been swirling around here ever since the Monday after the AFC Championship game: Ryan, Conklin, Tannehill, and Henry. Is there a budget that they could fit all four of those guys in there, or do they have to kind of brace themselves to have to lose at least one of them?
Yeah, well, I don't have the exact number in front of me. I think they sit eighth in terms of open cap space at like 54, 55, 56 million, somewhere around there. So if you just say 56 million, divided by four, is what, 14, 13 and a half, somewhere around there. So if you're just going to average that, for each guy, well, that's not going to pay for Tannehill. But it's all about how you kind of work the deal out. Is your guaranteed money up front? Is your guaranteed money, in the back? But you also don't want to be that team to where you are maxed out, You've got to have flexibility too. It's really, really difficult. But, I think you have to look and say, okay, who cannot leave? Who cannot walk out of that door out of those four guys? Derrick Henry. I think he's the number one for this team. That he just can't, he can't go. So you have to sign him. So let's just say that's 12 to 14 million, right? Well, then you got to figure out a quarterback. I mean, it's so hard, man. That's why they pay those numbers guys so well.
What's your sense, Steve? Can they find a way to keep all four in house?
No, I don't think they can.
Yeah.
Because here's the other problem. There's not just do they have those four, and those truly are the big four. Yeah. That's how you would order.
But there are several other spots that have.
They've got 18 free agents. Yeah. So more than a third of the roster is a free agent. And let's face it, one of the keys for this team, and we talked a lot about it on News Channel 5 leading up to the AFC Championship game, is when we were discussing this team at the end of training camp and at the beginning of the season, I think one of the knocks was the depth of the roster.
Yeah.
That they had gotten to a point where you looked at it and was like, well, okay, Now they've gotten some key guys up top on the roster, but the depth of the roster may not be as good as where it was. They proved us wrong there. A lot of guys came into the fold, you know, the Ty Smiths, and you get Tremaine Brock late in the season. They had a lot of guys come in. Kamale Correa, you didn't think he was a big factor. He was a star in the playoffs at outside linebacker.
Yeah, did a nice job.
Those types of things, the back half of the roster became a big key for this team to make the run they did. And so that's the thing is, while a Ty Smith name or a Tremaine Brock name doesn't do for you what Logan Ryan does when you're just talking about it in the conversation, those guys were critical when a Malcolm Butler gets hurt or next year it's Logan Ryan gets hurt. You've got to be able to turn to somebody that you can count on that's going to be able to perform in that situation.
All right.
And so that's the thing is they also have to think about how you re-sign some of those guys or find somebody else who's out that, there in free agency to come in.
I think that's the fundamental question, Alan, and that is, okay, let's take these great role players, and they have done a fantastic job finding these guys. I mean, the story of the season, Khalif Raymond makes a great play, Kari Blasingame. I mean, you can go right down the list. There's a bunch of them. So what is it worth to keep those guys? Will they take the same amount of money? How many of them will, you know, say, well, you know what, I've played well enough, I can get a better contract over here? And how confident is John Robinson of, well, I'll just find the next Kari Blasingame off of, you know, the field of replacement players that's going to come up, you know, the next crop of rookies, the next group guys get cut or on somebody's practice squad? That's a really important question when you put together your cap, right?
It's extremely important. You know, how much do you trust your scouts? How well do you draft, you know, in doing that? And I think you nailed it, and I think that goes to show that if you take those big four, Logan Ryan's probably the one that has the least importance, and I hate to say it because he's that good, you know, but it's like if there's any position that you could probably, you know, piecemeal together or think that you can go find would be in the secondary just compared to a Henry, Conklin, Tannehill. Now, Logan Ryan's good, man.
Like he had a great year.
I know. Like that's what makes
it. And then there's that intangible.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, so I can actually argue it the other way.
Yeah.
If I was going to say one of those four is expendable, and I'll preface it just as you did, I hate to say it because I think he's a good player and he's a big piece of this. I think it's Conklin.
Okay.
And the reason I think it's Conklin, despite all of Calvin's metrics and analytics and those sort of things, is Ryan is an emotional leader to the secondary. Yeah. I think having cornerbacks that can lock people down is a huge thing in this quarterback-driven league. And the other guy they have on the team that they have to think about re-signing is Dennis Kelly. And I think Dennis Kelly, as a right tackle, can be a very good player in this league.
That is
and
a question.
So yep. I think you could potentially let Conklin walk, re-sign Kelly for half the money or a third of the money, and walk away and think, all right, we're fine. Now, you certainly don't have the depth you did, and you can't bring in Kelly as your sixth offensive lineman, as they so often like to do there, but I think you have a little bit of protection with Kelly to potentially let a Conklin walk, where if you let Ryan go, I mean, your secondary is significantly diminished from where it was this year.
I agree 100% of everything you just said. I mean, I agree with it. Like, I can't disagree with a single part. Yeah.
When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about the Super Bowl itself. We'll get Alan's take on what do you think some of the key things to look for on Sunday will be, some of the storylines that have come through during the week down in Miami. Stay tuned. We're coming back with more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Well, there is a little theme to that tune playing because coming up at high noon, you just made the list is coming. We will have the Roger Waters tickets on the line. So make sure you get your list together. Who is on the list? Get your calls ready, etc. Speaking of that, you can call or text right now. If you want to weigh in on this conversation we're having about the Titans' upcoming offseason or the Super Bowl, call or text at 615-737-1025. So add the 615, especially if you're texting. You got to dial this area code now. It's not like the old days, right? You just pick up and didn't have to dial the 615.
754, just let it rip. Yeah.
The old cord on the phone. Yeah. All right, but we do have the text line, so 615-737-1025. If you got questions for Alan Bell, 24/7, we're talking a little football here. So, Alan, let's switch to the Super Bowl here. The matchup. Darren's been here all week saying he's very confident in the Chiefs. He loves the Chiefs in this game. The line is whatever it is, 1.5. It probably fluctuates a little bit here and there, but it's easy to you know, with the Patrick Mahomes coming in there, the way he has been playing, he is a superstar that's now getting a chance. But the 49ers have some things going for them, I think, up front, especially, that make it a wash in a lot of ways. So who do you like in the match?
Oh, first, I agree with you. And second, I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm very confident in the 49ers.
Really?
I think they're a much better team top to bottom. And that is nothing against the Chiefs. They are phenomenal. When the 49ers are playing at their peak ceiling level, they're almost impossible to beat. I mean, they just get better as the game goes. They don't even play like an offense, defense, special teams. It's one cohesive unit to where their run game will just decimate you slowly. They'll take their time. And then their defense, the more that they, you know, kind of score and get up, and I know every team does it, but they get it by 7, they get it by 10. That defensive line gets after you. Their corners play more aggressive. Their safeties play more aggressive. Quan Alexander, who no one even talks about, who might be the best defensive player on their team. Mm-hmm. They just get stronger. Like, it's just crazy, man. So, I mean, I think we're going to have a great Super Bowl. But, yeah, I'm in on the 49ers here. I think that what they've done and who they are, they're rolling right now.
They don't have Patrick Mahomes, though. We talked a little bit about this with Bonte Hill earlier, who covers the 49ers. And in a way, I think the matchup is similar to what the Titans had. You know, they're going to try and run the football first and foremost, go play action off of it, and then think that their defense is good enough to try to contain, not stop, but try to contain them. Here's my question. The place the Titans failed there is they had no ability to affect Mahomes at all. They couldn't get any type of pressure, and so it just became a, can you confuse him and cover long enough on the back end? And obviously they couldn't. The 49ers are a much better pass rush. Do you think they can get enough pressure on Mahomes to make a difference?
I think they can, but, you know, again, like you said, you know, Mahomes is the type of guy to where you could get pressure, but you have to bring him down, you know, because he can get outside, and not only, you know, can he obviously throw on the run, he can run. You know, you look at his last three games, he has 22 rushing attempts, which, if you look at that, that's the same amount combined as his first 9 games this season, right? So him, Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offense as a whole, have found something to where if you're covering, you know, Mecole Hardman, Tyreek, and Kelsey, you just don't have enough guys. And then, you know, Mahomes can just, he could just get outside and run on you too. So I'm with you. Like, it seems like everything that, like, Team A does, Team B has a perfect counterpunch for him. You brought up the Chiefs rush defense. Frank Clark and those guys have been playing incredible. I mean, this is going to be a phenomenal Super Bowl. I can't wait to see it.
I think you're right. For all these reasons you're pointing out, this has a chance, I think, to be a really exciting game.
Yeah.
That goes back and forth and right down to the last possession, and that's what we all want at our Super Bowl party, right?
And think about that. Yeah, and think about this. You know, the 49ers, you know, they play that style where they get up on you and they get stronger, just beat you up. Well, Patrick Mahomes this year, you know, as the Chiefs starter, he's 4-0 when the team's, you know, behind by 10 points or more. Like, I mean, it's
incredible.
It is. Like, I mean, who does that, you know?
Right.
And you know, two of them were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it really is just a perfect counterpunch. So then we're going to see, you know, as it come down to coaching, you know, somebody like Andy Reid, who has much more experience, you know, just older and, you know, quote unquote wiser. You know, or I don't know. I mean, it's just going to be a great chess match.
This year's version of the genius.
You
know, last year it was Sean McVay. This year it's Kyle Shanahan. People just think he's the next it coach. For me personally, it comes down to Mahomes. I think Mahomes is the best player on the field. And if they're down 3 in the final 2 minutes, I still think he's going to go win the game because I think he's the best player on the field. But I think it's just a fascinating matchup.
It is. You know, and you're right. You know, think about it. If it's, excuse me, if you're in the, you know, the fourth quarter, and what if Garoppolo has to start throwing? You know, I've seen him fumble the ball. I've seen him throw interceptions, and I'm not saying that, you know, he'll do it. He's a fine quarterback. But you're going to take Mahomes 10 out of 10 times.
Right.
You know, it's phenomenal.
All right, let's take a call here. In fact, if you want to jump in on the discussion, remember, call or text 615-737-1025. Let's go to Jerry up first. Jerry, welcome to the show. You're on 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, frequent caller. I see the two things. What I've seen is the 49ers are a quick start, ready to go, and the Chiefs always seem to play better when they're behind. You see the Chiefs falling behind and then coming roaring back, and since they normally feed off the crowd, can they do it without the Arrowhead crowd behind them?
Well, that was the map that the Chiefs followed at home. They were behind, what, 24-0?
24-0 against the Texans and 17-7 against the Titans.
If you think about this, going right off of that, their last three playoff games, Titans, Texans, and then the AFC Championship last year, Patriots, they've started those three games combined down 48-0.
Good grief.
Yep. And they almost won the AFC Championship, arguably should have. They beat the Texans and beat the Titans.
Now, on paper, with the running attack that the 49ers have and the defensive line that they have, that would not seem like a good map to follow in this game. I mean, the 49ers would be seemingly very well equipped to protect a lead, more so than some teams. Because although the Titans' defense played really well in the postseason, I think the overall talent level and statistical level of the 49ers defense is way, way better, significantly better than the Titans or the Texans.
The difference in the pass rush is startling. The Titans did a lot of great things, and Dean Pease was a magician in how he sort of masked the deficiencies. But at the end of the day, and we saw this in Kansas City, they could not get to the quarterback. And it didn't matter who it was, but especially when it was Patrick Mahomes, they couldn't get there. And that is not a problem for the 49ers. I mean, Bosa is incredible. They've got other guys that can bring the pressure from up the middle, off the edge, all those sort of things. So I think the 49ers will be able to bring some pressure. The question is, can you actually get to Patrick Mahomes? Because he's not a statue back there. It's not like trying to get to Tom Brady.
And he'll kill you. They've got the speed. Yeah. He'll kill you down the field. I can see why the Titans didn't do the Dean Pease blitzes of the corner and stuff, because he's just too good at making you pay down the field with those fast guys. So it's like you need at least seven guys back there, if not eight, right?
You have to trust your front four that they can get after it, and the 49ers can. But you bring, you bring up a great point. Like, you have to bring Mahomes down. You can't just get pressure. But, you look at the 49ers, they're not afraid to play from behind either, right? Like, Kyle Shanahan is as cool as it comes. Watch him during the Super Bowl when he calls plays. He is just stone-faced. There's no emotion. He's relaxed. If they're down 20 points, he does not care. He's like, he'll call his offense. He'll throw. And, you know, another thing? Both of these teams have great tight ends.
Tight ends are going to be fun to watch.
Yeah, it's just, it literally is incredible at every positional group. It's fantastic.
We're going to take a break. Alan Bell will stick around for one more segment here. We'll take some phone calls, maybe some texts. 615-737-1025. One more segment if you want to weigh in, talking Super Bowl. If you have questions about the Titans offseason going forward here, we'll kick around those ideas as well. We welcome your calls or texts. One more segment this hour. Stay tuned. It's coming up. Okay, got a good long segment this hour before you just made the list at noon. Taking your calls and texts on the Titans, on the Super Bowl, 615-737-1025 here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We've got Alan Bell in the studio, 24/7 Sports, covers the NFL, and Steve Lehman from News Channel 5. Let me get to Mike and Gallatin up first. We've got some lines open if you want to jump in. Mike, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. So I think that another narrative that we're missing in the midst of all the Titans off-season talk is the what other moves would the team like to do if they could outside of signing those four guys that we were saying. So for me personally, I think that an elite pass rusher is something that the team has been missing for as long as, Kyle VandenBosch, Javon Kearse. Those are the two guys that I can think of as elite pass rushers that we've had in the past. If you told me that we can get Chris Jones, Jadeveon Clowney, or one of those guys, I would be okay with not signing Conklin and being okay with Kelly. That's just me. I don't know. I know it's probably going to take more than that. But if you told me we had a chance to get Jones or Clowney, I'd be jumping at the bit to try to do that.
It's an interesting thought philosophically, right? Because you live in a salary cap world of you can't have everything you want, right? That's the salary cap.
Right.
It's very hard to have all of the bases covered. You're going to have to cover weaknesses or spend a little less money on one area of the game. So what do you think? Would you sacrifice one of the guys that you have in your corral and take that money and go outside and for a pass rusher? I don't see it. I think it's more the draft that you try to address that. Because I do agree with him that an extra pass rusher would be a weakness they would like to fill.
They would certainly love to fill that. That's an expensive fill. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about money already. I mean, that is incredibly expensive. And you're usually looking at 1 to 2 years. And, you know, nothing against a Jadeveon Clowney at all, but man, I mean, ever since South Carolina, like, you know,
are you getting? He's not getting any younger.
Yeah.
He's had a lot of injury issues. I don't know.
They're really big to Robinson and Vrabel about doing things their way. A lot of those guys we talked about in the earlier segment about the depth pieces that have been factors here were guys who are on the practice squad, guys who are deep on this roster that have been around for a year or two and learned exactly how they wanted to do it, and then they'd go in and perform a job. So that doesn't strike me as like a Jadeveon Clowney type of signing. What it strikes me is re-signing Akamele Correa and bringing him back. You know, that's not a game changer in that system. But the other guys we're forgetting about is Cam Wake. I mean,
he's still under contract.
He's old,
right?
But he's under contract, and he was hurt at the end of this year. If he comes back and you tell me he's healthy next year, that's a huge if, obviously. But Jack Conklin being healthy last year was a huge if. Coming into this past season, he came back and looked like a guy once again who could be potentially a Pro Bowl type of player at some point. Can Wake come in? And I don't know if you can ever expect 10 sacks again from him, but could he come in and be a guy that gives you 7 or 8 next year? Because 7 or 8 more sacks for this defense would have gone a long way.
Yeah, I think you, man, I can't pronounce his last name, Yannick
Ngakoue.
Yeah, from the Jaguars. I think that would be somebody they would possibly type of look at. But, you know, you talk about Jadeveon. Well, who's better to make that decision than Mike Vrabel? You know, he knew him, you know, in Houston. And the fact that the Texans, you know, kind of weren't afraid to get rid of him, I think that probably tells you, you know, that Vrabel would say, nah, we're not overpaying on that. You know, really where the Titans need it is they got to hit on somebody in the draft. Mm-hmm. You know, that's really where that's really
it's hard.
It's almost impossibly hard, right? But you got to have a lot of luck with it. And I think that's really where teams that win Super Bowls, I mean, that's where they get it. You know, you hit on a quarterback and you hit on a big pass rusher.
It's much less likely to be a veteran free agent in most cases.
It's tough. I mean, it's so tough. It's so hard.
All right, let's hit on – we haven't really talked about the quarterback position, but there's been a couple of intriguing things that have happened as we try to sort through what's really going on and what is fantasy world, right? It would seem on the surface, and hey, sports talk show, we're all about, you know, hypotheticals and rumors and what ifs. It was Monday, the day after the game. People were saying, well, what if Tom Brady was a free agent, right? We've been looking for clues of how do you hear anything in a Mike Vrabel, what he's saying? He made the rounds in Miami yesterday. We played the interview that he did with his former teammate, Teddy Bruschi. Now, if there's a guy that can maybe get Mike Vrabel to open up a little bit, maybe it is the guy who played alongside for all those years in New England. He kind of got after him a little bit on Tannehill. What do you think? You know, so you're just looking for not, hey, we want to sign him or we have signed him. He really was noncommittal.
Mm-hmm.
He would not get into anything, not even a crumb. Like if I'm Tannehill's agent, I would have looked for a little vibe that says, yeah, we'd like to have him back if, you know, but we know it's a business. There's a lot of guys. I didn't even get that. So meanwhile, yesterday I'm at my kid's school and a guy shows me a video of Tom Brady walking around with supposedly was NBA. There was these rumors walking around that the Bradys are investigating Nashville, right? And then, Alan, you had an interesting note from a gambling perspective.
Yeah, so, you know, I've been talking with some of the guys at DraftKings Sportsbook, and earlier this week, you know, the odds for Tom Brady to come to the Titans sat at about plus 1,600, which was, you know, 6th, 7th, 8th, somewhere around there in terms of ranking, in terms of the teams. Those odds were taken off the board yesterday, and I, you know, got to him quickly, and I was like, hey, you know, can you confirm that this is off? You know, that you're bored. And they didn't respond. And then they just responded literally 5 minutes ago and said, hey, it's back up. Pull it back up. Tom Brady's at plus 500.
So the odds have changed a lot, and more so of a chance that he would sign for the Titans.
Yeah, they've increased, right? And you look at the rankings of the teams,
you're saying more likely.
Way more likely, yeah. So, first would be the Patriots for him to return. Second would be the Chargers, and third would be the Titans. So, again, you got to take gambling with a little bit of grain of salt. Sure.
Because there's a human element who people's emotions tell them.
But I think if, like we were talking about with Tom Brady, his biggest motivation is winning. And the teams that could possibly be looking for a quarterback, I think the Titans are the only ones that give him that opportunity to come into a championship caliber type team. Unless Drew Brees retires with New Orleans and he goes to the Saints, you're not going to win with the Chargers this year. You're not going to win with the Raiders, the Bucks.
Yeah. If Brady's leaving New England, which I still think the most likely thing is him probably re-signing there. But if he's leaving New England, it's all about ego at that point.
Yeah.
To me, what that's saying is he's saying everybody's talked about all the Super Bowls that we've won here, and it's always Belichick and Brady or the Patriots way or whatever. I'm the reason we've won these. And the reason he would leave is because he wants to go somewhere to play for 2 years and he thinks he can win another one and get one more for him than the Patriots have. And he can kind of go to retirement saying, I'm the reason why the Patriots dynasty was what it was. And I proved it by winning somewhere else. And to your point, I don't think he goes and plays for the Chargers and wins a Super Bowl the next 2 years.
I just can't
I think
see
he could
that.
Potentially no. come here.
Well, there's a lot of things that are logical, right? The connection to Mike Vrabel, et cetera, a team that looks like it's got the table set to win. So let's get back to Tannehill for a minute, because you have all these you have the ability to slap a franchise tag on Tannehill if you want to. You have that bargaining power. You also have, as you said, Alan, a lot of quarterbacks that are going to be out there, right? So how committed are they in your mind? Because a lot of things have to fall into place for you even to have a chance at Brady, right? And you have to make that call on the franchise tag maybe before you even know if Brady's out there at all. So are you guys seeing what I'm seeing? There's still not – there doesn't seem publicly to be any kind of, we'd like to have Tannehill if we can do this. They haven't even gone that far.
He hasn't said a word about that at any point. And when you ask him, I think this is as telling about the contract questions, because I didn't really expect a ton out of them, because obviously you don't know and you're working into that. Yeah. You don't want to say, yes, we have to have that guy back, because then it hurts your leverage and all those sort of things. But when you asked him about the offensive switch during the season and the turnaround about Tannehill, almost every time you asked him about Tannehill leading the turnaround, Vrabel's answer would say, well, Ryan's great. He did a fantastic job for us. But the turnaround was an entire team thing. We got Taylor back. The offensive line gelled. Roger played a few more games. We had a rookie on the right side who got more in tune to the offense. Jack Conklin got more healthy. Derrick Henry started running the ball better. The wide receiver stepped up a little bit more. The tight end stepped up a little bit. It became an entire team thing. He deflected the praise off of Tannehill being the sort of sole reason for the turnaround. And, statistically, it looks like you switched the quarterback and everything changed. But part of that is that Derrick Henry ran for 60 yards a game more after that happened. And the quarterback really had nothing to do with that. That's the offensive line and Henry. And Vrabel was very quick every time you asked the question to point that out, almost as if to say, it's not all on 17. It's not all the quarterback.
Yeah, you're right. And, here's a couple things of what I think. If Tom Brady were truly available, here's a couple things just beyond the name of what Tom Brady would bring that I think Ryan Tannehill might not. One, Tom Brady brings insurance to Derrick Henry. I don't care who you are. You cannot load the box or do whatever to stop Derrick Henry, because Tom Brady can just slant you to death. I mean, he could do it at 43. He could do it at 53. Right. Two, if you're talking about giving a franchise tag to Tannehill next year, Tom Brady might be cheaper than that next year. And you're talking about everybody saying, well, Tom Brady's 43, he's older. How long, you think he's going to play? 2 years? Well, franchise tag's only 1 year. Right. So it's not like that you have this, long term deal that you're giving away with Tannehill. And then number three, what I think Tom Brady brings that Tannehill doesn't is you can draft a young guy. You could draft a young quarterback, because Tom Brady knows the deal. And you say, look, you've got 2 to 3 years. You're a guy. Don't worry about this kid behind you. We're not benching you. We're not doing anything. I don't know if you get that with Ryan Tannehill, because he just kind of did it to Mariota, and he's going to be looking over his shoulder if there's a young guy there. So But you know what? I mean, there's a lot of things Tannehill brings. I like what he does with his legs in the red zone, you know?
What do you guys make of these rumors, right? They had the rumors about something going on in Nashville. I had no idea. I didn't know. Well, this guy showed me his phone, and it looked like a doctored video of Tom Brady actually standing, and what they were saying was Montgomery Bell Academy. I was like, really?
Well, I'll say this. I can confirm he was in Miami last night, 100%. Yeah.
All right, yeah. So let's just take the rumor. The fact that it was a rumor. We love rumors on this show. But there was also a Twitter photo that's got all the Patriots fans wondering what the heck's going on. Tom Brady tweets a photo of him walking either into or out of Gillette Stadium. Like I don't know. Like, he kind of left it up to everybody to interpret it, and it's got everybody going crazy up there. So what do we make of this?
Do we even want to take a shot at it? It's very interesting. Very interesting. I don't know. I mean, rumors are just fun to think about, but if it's not Tannehill, I think, honestly, the most likely option is Brady.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the quarterback of the Titans next year is either going to be Ryan Tannehill or Tom Brady.
Well, that to me, those are the only two options that would work in my mind. If I could live with either one if I'm John Robinson, but I wouldn't want to gamble and lose Tannehill chasing Brady only to find that you can't get Brady. That to me would be the worst case.
I think the only way that happens is it's like a handshake deal. I mean,
yes.
Brady invited Vrabel to the Kentucky Derby last year in his box. Those two guys are boys. And by the way, they're like the same age.
Yeah.
I think we forget that because Vrabel's the coach has been out of the league for a while.
Teammate, right? Yeah. And you know, your friends on the field. But they appear to have a deeper bond than that.
This
right?
is a decade later.
Yeah.
And they're hanging out at the Kentucky Derby together. And, you know, then obviously they did the training camp thing. And Brady walked out with the trophy for the regular season win last year. I mean, they're boys. And so I think if this was going to happen, I think there's a fist pump behind closed doors here in the next few weeks. It's like, yeah, I'm leaving New England. I'm coming to play for you guys. And so, I mean, I think if they take the gamble, they know that Brady's signing at whatever, 4:01 Central Time on March 5th mm-hmm. or whatever that day is.
Yeah.
And if they don't have that, then I think you have to proceed with Tannehill.
Yep, you're exactly right. 100%. And, you know, I think another thing about it is that what two people would you rather have to make this decision than Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, who know exactly what Tannehill just brought? They both know Tom Brady extremely well. Like, whichever decision they make is probably the right decision, because, you know, they're not taking guesses on, well, hey, let's watch some film. Like, no, they know, you know, whether or not Brady still has it or not. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think 100% that it would be a done deal exactly how you said.
And then tying it all together as we wrap up the hour, can this keep the price tag down a little bit so that you might have a little extra to address these other guys that we've been talking about? I don't know. We'll time will tell. Alan, great stuff. Thanks for coming by, as always. Always fun to have the conversations with
you. It is fun, man. I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you so much.
All right. When we come back, it'll be time for You Just Made the List, and we'll have the Roger Waters tickets. So we've already got some people lining up for that. If you want to jump in, 737-1025. That is coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.